Okay, we've reached item number 15, in-stream flows. This is a briefing. Hal Beecher is here from our Habitat program. Welcome. Sorry we had to delay this. It was on the schedule for our last meeting and just got crowded out. But welcome.
Thank you. Good morning, members of the commission and Director Anderson. I want you to understand why in-stream flows matter and what we do to protect and restore flows. There's six of us spread from Olympia to Pasco covering the state. All of our funding comes through the Department of Ecology. An in-stream flow is a water right to keep water in the streams. The beneficial uses of an in-stream flow include fish, ecosystem function, and other values. The owner of the water right is the public. Flow is a finite resource. Demand grows, but not supply. In-stream flows are established to ensure that there's enough water in the stream. Fish production is related to in-stream flow. If there's not enough water, not enough flow, then there will be less fish for all. Our objective is to protect fish and restore habitat and the fish and other wildlife that depend on flow. We focus on fish, but the value of in-stream flow extends to most other fish and wildlife as well. Fish can respond to flow both immediately or cumulatively over time. Connectivity, including fish passage, is a priority of the Habitat program in the new Habitat program business plan. Coho salmon have the most easily demonstrable population response to year-to-year flow variation. And this relationship was identified in the 40s and 50s. And as I note here, when you get more complex life histories, it gets much harder to tease apart those relationships. But they're there. We have done that, but it's much harder when you get overlapping age classes and so forth. Work by the fish program's Dave Seiler and colleagues in Bingham Creek, which is down on the Satsop River, showed a strong relationship between summer low flow and coho salmon production. More water resulted in more coho smolts in Bingham Creek. We have a 400-plus page list of scientific literature relating fish, wildlife, and habitat to flow and its correlates such as depth, velocity, and area inundated. To be effective in protecting in-stream flow, we need to work with water law. Fortunately, past Washington legislatures recognized that fish need water, and they put in-stream flow into the law. Basic components of water law are seniority, perpetuity, and beneficial use. Unfortunately, in-stream flows are seldom senior. But legal mechanisms to protect and in some cases restore in-stream flows do exist. So here's what we do. We use tools and knowledge to recommend in-stream flows. We improve the tools and knowledge. We also review proposed legislation, and we conduct outreach and education. We apply in-stream flow methods to develop recommendations to establish or restore flows, then advocate for our recommendations. Specific examples include providing expert testimony in litigation. The Elkhorn case, which is referred to down below, and many others. RCW 7757020, Water Right Application Review, is the oldest in-stream flow statute in Washington, dating from 1949. Other statutes relating to in-stream flows and watershed planning date only to 1969, with environmental awareness and the Bolt decision a real impetus beginning in the 1970s and subsequent refinements in the 1990s. The Department of Fish and Wildlife roles include conducting and interpreting studies, technical assistance and recommendations, in advocating for fish and wildlife interests. Other statutes, setting in-stream flows for conservation is one of the most important conservation actions. Without enough water, other aquatic habitat measures have little meaning. Put logs in a dry stream and it won't do much good. The nature of water law makes for urgency in setting in stream flows. It doesn't pay to be last. At the same time, setting in stream flows is a very good investment. The value of in-stream flow increases with time. Other conservation efforts using other tools, perhaps by other interests, may build on established in-stream flows. The Elkhorn case, argued by Christine Gregoire and Jay Manning with help from Bill Freymeyer before the U.S. Supreme Court, resulted in states getting authority under the Clean Water Act to supersede the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission decisions on in-stream flow. And the testimony by our agency biologists was very important in that case. We search for or welcome willing partners in protecting and restoring flows and aquatic habitat. We have some common interests with municipal water suppliers and some other interests. These principles for flow management and functional mitigation of watershed development also impart resilience to climate change. Times and values change, but water law, not as much. Although water rights are perpetual if used, creative cooperation can lead to flow and habitat restoration. Trust water rights are an important tool for flow restoration. The Columbia River In-Stream Atlas helps us and our partners prioritize efforts to restore flow. This was a product jointly of some of the members of our group and other people in the agency and outside the agency. So it's been a valuable tool, mostly by Department of Fish and Wildlife staff. Most of what has preceded this slide left unsaid the need to determine and specify an amount of flow desired or needed. The picture on the right is the main stem Yakima River, and I think that was 1977. So pretty bleak. Really brought in-stream flows to the attention of many people. So a significant part of our work is to identify how much water we need when. This involves work in hydraulic modeling, fish behavioral ecology, and hydrology. It's not a simple answer, although sometimes with flow restoration, feasibility is the main constraint. Many aspects of aquatic ecology must be considered, although some aspects get more emphasis. Our successes depend on our partners. These are public processes concerning public values and public assets, but they also affect private rights and properties. We certainly don't have all the answers. We try to identify questions that reasonable skeptics would ask, then pursue some of the answers, at least in part. We try to improve the tools and our understanding so that we can be more credible and effective. Here's some of the tools that we have developed and used. We've also junked some of them as we learn more. And some of these are still being developed. One of our annual tasks, ably led by Teresa Scott, is review of draft legislation to provide a perspective on how it might influence our ability to protect habitat and fish. We try to provide awareness and understanding of in-stream flows to constituents in hopes that they will support our efforts. Participation in the In-Stream Flow Council has helped with our outreach. The In-Stream Flow Council is made up of state and provincial fish and wildlife agencies. The American Fisheries Society letter on climate change to President Obama emphasizes the importance of in-stream flow. We aim to contribute knowledge and understanding to efforts at aquatic habitat conservation. In conclusion, fish need water and always will. We need creative, constructive ways to ensure continued natural production of fish and wildlife in natural streams. The Department of Fish and Wildlife will need to be a leading advocate for in-stream flow and will need to seek partners. To remain effective, the Department of Fish and Wildlife Water Science team needs to continue to be a leader in in-stream flow science while remaining effective practitioners. Another thing that our water science team needs to be effective is funding. We're funded entirely through ecology grants, although this has not always been true. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Obviously, very important work that you're doing. Director Anderson?
I didn't mean to jump in front of
You know, I was sitting here a little bit thinking, you know, we're talking about in-stream flows, and the topic can be a little dry, even though we're talking about water.
That's ironic. Yeah.
And but the importance of in-stream flows to what we do in terms of fish production, I'm not sure I can think of anything that's more important. And you'll remember the treaty rights at risk white paper that came out from the tribes, and they were admonishing the federal government as well as the state government for not living up to our obligations and our legal obligations when it comes to fish habitat. And there was a significant focus in that paper on in-stream flows and the fact that the federal and state governments were not living up to their obligations, and that despite all of the money, and there's been a lot of it, millions and millions of dollars being put into habitat restoration, that without water, as Hal said, it doesn't mean a whole lot. And so in some conversations that I've had, even with Governor Inslee, we talked about, when we were talking about the Treaty Rights at Risk white paper and what are some of the points that the tribes were making, in-stream flows was one of the key pieces that we talked about taking on to see and to do everything we could as state entities to address and improve, maintain and improve the in-stream flows. So as you're thinking about all of the information that Hal provided you here today, it's an extremely important thing for us as an agency. The water science team is the focal point when it comes to in-stream flows and providing that technical assistance and recommendations to other entities that can truly influence in-stream flows. But it's also much broader than that when you think about all the things that we do as an agency relative to fish and wildlife species, how important this is. Hot water, low flows in hot water, as we certainly talked about with sockeye and the other salmonids as well and other fish species too, don't mix. And we can pump all this money into hatcheries. We can put those fish into the stream. And if they don't have a place to live where they can survive, we're throwing money down the drain. And so that's why this particular topic of in-stream flows, we wanted to make sure that we brought forward this presentation to you here today and gave you an understanding to the extent that we built on what you already knew about it and the role that the Department of Fish and Wildlife plays in it.
Very helpful. Commissioner Schmitten?
Thank you, Chair, and I wanted to particularly thank Hal. I thought that was a very good presentation. I'd like to associate myself with the director's comments. He did a wonderful job in expressing why in-stream flows are important. I do have a question. You said during your comment, then I saw it twice later in other slides, in-stream flows are seldom senior. Is that a function of the first in line, first in right issue?
Yes.
I thought maybe that was it. Can we purchase water rights?
Yes, we can, and that's part of what is done through the Trust Water Right Program. So it's a willing seller, you know, negotiate a price and try to find a win-win where the water user can, whether it's to be more efficient. Sometimes we have people who are using 1890 technology that uses a lot more water, and by putting a little cash into the mix, you can bring that up to a more efficient use of the water for the same benefits, while putting, you know, because it's more efficient, then you don't need as much, and more of it's back in the stream. So we get, you know, really do get a win-win.
Thank you.
Commissioner Kenney first.
Thank you. There's so many of the models that predict with climate change we can expect in the Northwest, at least, earlier flows and higher peak flows coming off our snowpacks a lot earlier. And what comes to mind is maybe will storage come back kind of in the future as those conditions occur as more, and I guess, an acceptable method of affecting in-stream flow? Because they've kind of, you know, any new storage projects over the years have just almost disappeared. I'm just wondering what the thoughts are and if the science team is thinking along those lines or just curious.
You know, I think that storage is going to be it's a tool in the toolbox, but it's one that you have to use with caution because it comes at the expense of watershed area, of upstream habitats. It does change the hydrology. It can change the temperature, which can be a way of addressing some of the climate issues. But at the same time, I think there's a lot to be said for using it with great caution and not just saying, "Oh, that's the fix-all." If you have off-channel storage as opposed to on the main channel, then you can impact less of the stream continuum, and so you can retain many of those values that you want in a natural watershed. But yes, it is something to be considered, but hopefully as more in the back pocket it's a tool, but it's not the, you know, one size takes care of everything.
Commissioner Mencken?
Several of the commissioners met yesterday with Lisa Venerosa, and she made an interesting statement during the meeting. She said that Hal Beecher knows more about in-stream flow than anybody on the globe. Is that true?
I really doubt that.
Thank you for your presentation. That was great.
Commissioner Carpenter?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Beecher, I don't know if this is feasible or not, but it's an interesting presentation, and I was just wondering, not trying to add to your workload, but would it be possible to do the past 25 years of what you've seen, what the trend lines are for the past 25 years, and then visionary for the next 25 years, so some of us might have a way to better measure what's happening?
You know, I think there certainly has been more recognition of the importance of flow, and at the same time, more contention over it. Another government regulation telling me what I can do with my water that flows in front of my, through my land or next to my land or, you know, so you always have those kinds of tensions, and I don't think they're going to go away. You know, I guess my hope is that new generations continue to value fish and wildlife and the outdoors, because if you know, this is all they do, they won't see a need for the natural environment.
Thank great segue into the importance of the Big Tents Initiative and getting youth outdoors. Thanks for that plug for our initiative.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Hal. Great job.